Good morning, my friends. It is wonderful to see you. I want to tell you, this sure beats talking to my basement wall. I pray that we will soon be back to normal and have the fellowship that we are accustomed to in this caring and friendly congregation. Amen. The point of the lesson today is humbly place the needs of others before your own. The scripture reading today is found in Philippians 2, 1-8, and verses 13 and 15, and I'll be reading that whole chapter. But let us first pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee with a grateful heart. We have been so blessed. You have touched our lives. You have prospered this nation. And Lord, we pray that we could get back to the old, where we place God first in this nation. Our Christians are placing God first. And we thank President Trump for declaring that the churches would be open today. He needs our prayers. We need to be a praying nation. He is so right when he said this nation needs more prayer, not less. Please follow along as I read the entire chapter of Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbleth himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, Paul's telling us there, this is a serious matter. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, the setting of and history of Paul's adventures are always interesting to me. It appears to me that it's helpful to our understanding to provide a brief account here. Paul wrote Philippians while a prisoner of Nero in Rome around AD 60. He was responding to a gift of money that the Philippi church had sent with Epaphroditus to meet his needs while under house arrest awaiting trial. Paul usually supported himself rather than live off the church. He supported himself with his own trade as a tent maker. The offering was an unusual occurrence for Paul to receive. Paul was deeply touched. Paul responded with a joyful report and a message of unity to the church at Philippi. Philippians 1:27-28. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, Paul is telling us, watch what you say. Watch what you think. Because God knows. And Paul is going to find out what's going on in this church. Whether I'm here or whether I'm not, he's saying to them, I will know how you behave. Christians should stand in unity of the Spirit, all of one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. Amen. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. This is verse 28. Nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Have no fear of your enemies. Their fear is evidence of their destination, and that is perdition. But you, my friends, have the knowledge and the security of God and eternal salvation. Praise the Lord. The letter was sent with Epaphroditus to the church of Philippi, which was Paul's first church in Europe. The church was founded about AD 51 on Paul's second missionary journey. Luke was the pastor there for 6 years, and the church at Philippi was considered the purest of the New Testament churches. Philippi is in Macedonia. Now that's north of Greece today, but it was then considered part of Greece, and it is in Yugoslavia today. Verse by verse, Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Now, this is consolation. If there be any benefit in Christ, if there be the comfort of love, if there be the fellowship of Spirit, if there be bowels and mercies. Now, this means tenderheartedness. I had a little problem with those words. Had to do a lot of research to find out what they really meant. Tenderness. If there be any tenderness in Christ. Have you ever seen any of these? Have you ever seen any evidence of Christ having these possessions, these feelings towards you? Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. We're talking to you. The elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, that's putting up with, forbearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Be forgiving, my friends. It will be a blessing to you. And above all things, put on charity. Now, charity is just another word for love. Put on love. It always comes back to that, because love covers all sins. It is the bond of perfectness. Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, Paul is saying, you are really going to make me happy if you follow what I am teaching you. Fulfill my joy, that ye be like-minded. Like-minded with who? Like-minded with Jesus Christ. And all Christians should have that same like-mindedness. We should follow Jesus and try to be more like him every day, having the same love that Jesus has for you, being of one accord. We have the Scripture, and we have the Holy Spirit to provide us guidance, direction, and support in our lives, in our daily walk. Be of one mind. Be together in thought. Follow the gospel. And a favorite of mine, share the word. That's how we display love. Sharing the word of Jesus Christ. Let nothing be done through strife, that's anger, or vainglory, that's pride, but in lowliness of mind, humility, that's lowliness of mind, humility, and be not ego-driven. We all have a little problem with that sometimes. But God does not want us to be ego-driven. He wants us to be spirit-driven. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. My friends, be interested in others. Don't be thinking of yourself exclusively. And God doesn't tell us to not think of ourselves well. We should know ourselves, and we should have self-esteem. God doesn't want us to just be a doormat, but he wants us to be interested in others. When we have a stranger walk into the church, they may not be dressed real well. They might not drive the best automobile, but God loves them, and he wants you to love them too. Be concerned for their welfare, spiritual, social, and material. Notice others and compliment them. My father-in-law was the greatest complimenter I ever saw. He had a heart of gold. And when he saw somebody come into a church, if he saw somebody come into a restaurant, he had probably 1 minute was bragging that person up in some way, even though he's a total stranger. Boy, you could see that person just glow from those compliments. We should be like that. We should be concerned. And we should give service to others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is what Jesus would have done. And he wants us to do it too. Adopt the mindset of Jesus into your mind and into your heart. Be more like Jesus. In verse 6, who, and we're talking about Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus was not like God. Jesus was God. He was a God. He was our God. And he chose to be a man to complete God's plan of salvation and to grant eternal life to those that believe Jesus is their Savior. But he made himself of no reputation. Jesus temporarily waived his rights as God and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He had all the weaknesses of man. He had all the yearnings of man. But he lived the perfect life, a life without sin. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself as an example to us and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the most agonizing way that the Romans could think to terminate someone's life. They dragged it on and on and on, fighting for every breath in such a weakened state of mind after being thrashed with a cat of nine tails, having to bear the burden of carrying his cross up the mountain, all the while being abused, spit at. He was truly humbled. Let us take a moment just to think of the humility that Christ displayed. He willingly left his place in heaven as God for earth. Now, this isn't such a hot place today. And he left heaven for it. He was born in a stable. And even I was born in the hospital. He was a king, but was a common carpenter living in obscurity. He washed the feet of his disciples like a common servant. Now, they walked through the streets. I don't know if you've ever been in a town in the Mideast, but everything goes out the window onto the street. Everything. And his disciples walked through all of that. And Christ humbled himself before them and washed their feet like a common servant. He suffered the indignities of the cross. He took on our sin and was forsaken by God. Though he was without sin, he descended into hell for us sinners. Christ, our example to follow, the most powerful man in the history of the world, was also the most humble. Dear God, help us to be more like Jesus. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, deservingly, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that day is coming, my friends, perhaps sooner than we think. And when that day comes, our joy will be complete. Praise God, whose blessings we do not deserve. We live in the secure knowledge of eternal life only because of the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, Paul uses those words to grab your attention. This is the most serious question you will ever face in your life. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's Hebrews 4:11. Philippians 2:13-15. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, for to make you desire to, for you to want to, and to do of his good pleasure. God will make it easy for you. All we have to do is ask him for his guidance. All we have to do is read his word to know where he wants us to go and how we should do it. And God will give us the Holy Spirit as our comforter. Jesus said, I must needs go away for the comforter to come. We have the Holy Spirit. I feel it every time I come to this building. I feel it every time I meet with you folks. I've never seen a congregation that loved so much. And I... God will help us to learn to place others before ourselves. And God will lead us into the life of service that Paul is talking about. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Murmurings, complaining, being upset. Now, we have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Have you ever been driving down a freeway, a busy day, you're running a little late, and all of a sudden there's a construction project up ahead, and a three-lane freeway goes to one lane? What happens? They start putting up signs for everybody to get over and form that one lane. I'm willing to go along with the program. I'm cheerful. I'm late, but I'm cheerful. And I pull off to the side, and I'm content. And then I look in my rearview mirror, and what do I see? Here's somebody coming up alongside of me going about 70, trying to sneak in front of me so that he gets there first. It's happened to every one of us. It's happened to me a lot. And I don't like it. Unfortunately, I do a little murmuring at that time. And my wife, she's like the Holy Spirit, and she's reminding me, now, calm down. Little things in life can lead into big problems. We need to control those little things so we don't have those big problems. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do without complaint or arguing. Take self out of every situation. that you're in. We're only one of many selves. I've seen churches split apart over self. One person that wanted their way, and they go and undermine all of the good things that's happening in a church to try and get their own way. Lord, that's not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to cave in like sheep at everything either. We need to stress our point and accept the outcome. Accept the outcome in humility and work together. We can disagree and be agreeable. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Don't be like the unsaved. Love them. Take them into consideration. Serve them. But do not fall into the temptation of thinking the way they do and acting the way they do. Keep a spotless reputation. Let your light shine so that people know you are one of Jesus' lights. Now, the conclusion is the point of this lesson. Humbly place the needs of others before your own. Let us close in prayer. And once again, I thank President Trump for his order. I encourage you to pray for him and all of our leaders. Let politics turn into agreeableness in disagreement. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you again today, reading your holy word. We thank you so much for it, Lord. Let it more perfectly shape our lives. Help us to follow your word and your love and to be more like Jesus. And Lord, keep us all safe from this pandemic. Put the whole armor of God around each and every Christian in this congregation, Lord. And Lord, let them reach out and touch others. Touch the lost. Bring them to Jesus, that Paul and God's, Jesus' joy will be fulfilled. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, next week's topic is to accept, and it will be found in Romans chapter 14, 1 through 4, and 13 to 19. God bless you. Stay healthy and keep safe.